And today we delve into timeless wisdom found in the Gospel of Luke. If you have your Bible, please open Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. Our focus on a parable that Jesus shared with his disciples, conveying a powerful message about the importance of consistency and perseverance in prayer. We are going to read Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. And as we reflect upon this passage, let us open our hearts and minds to receive the transformative words of our God. Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused. But afterwards he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? This is God's word. Time spent in a long wait gradually turns hope into complete indifference. If hope does not find a nourishing source, that feeling of indifference does not arise suddenly. It's like the first snow which quietly covers the face of earth, falls down and covers the earth. Hope slowly but inevitably fades, like the last light at sunset, leaving us at complete darkness. One of the most ancient and vivid stories about long wait, about hope, and about returning home is the myth of Odysseus, the king of the island of Ithaca. This myth tells us about the adventures and wandering of king of Ithaca, Odysseus, about his attempts to get back home after the end of the Trojan War. And he spent 10 years on that war. And it took him 10 more years to find his way back home. He was getting into shipwrecks. He descended into Hades. He fought monsters. He fought gods. He held captive on an island by a nymph of love. And in his homeland, on the island of Ithaca, everyone thought that Odysseus was long dead. Except his wife, Queen Penelope. She continued to hope and wait for his safe return. She resolutely declined the advances of numerous suitors who desired her hand and sought to replace her beloved husband on the throne. Neither Penelope nor the throne fell into the hands of those suitors, because after 20 long years, the king finally returned to his rightful place, to his homeland. Evangelist Luke in his gospel tells us not about mythical, but about historical events. And he writes approximately about 20 years after Christ went back to heaven. In the previous chapter, chapter 17, Jesus explained to his disciples that the time would come when he would no longer be with them. And at that time, they are going to face very difficult challenges. He He also warned them of God's coming judgment on Jerusalem and explained how they would need to act in order to avoid the fate of those who would be subjected to that judgment. And as time passed by, chronologically, events developed exactly as Christ predicted, but most likely not as fast as his disciples expected. Jesus suffered, he died, he rose again on the third day, ascended to heaven, promising to be back soon, and that's it. 2 years passed, he was not back. 10 years passed. Judaism began to persecute Christians more actively, but Christ did not return. 20 years have passed. The Jewish authorities began to hunt for Christians here and there. However, the anticipated judgment of Jerusalem and the long-awaited return of Christ had not yet come to pass. It's quite possible that some believers began to have doubts. Is it worth to pray, "Your kingdom come"? Is it worth praying that God will protect them from persecutors? Is it necessary to pray for the return of the Lord? So when Luke writes his Gospels, he finds sources reporting that Christ, during his earthly life, warned his disciples about delay of his return. This topic of delay is especially evident in this Gospel. And the main idea of the parable of the unjust judge is based on the fact that disciples of the Lord who were expelled from the synagogues, oppressed, persecuted, should not lose hope and should continue to pray. In difficult circumstances of life, should continue to pray one specific prayer for coming of God's kingdom in glory and for the return of their king. Moving forward, as we consider this parable and its teaching on perseverance and consistency in prayer, let us remember that we Christians now find ourselves living over 2,000 years after the first coming of Christ. And we may wonder sometimes, how long does it take? When Jesus will be coming back again? When he will restore justice on the face of the earth? That's why, despite the passage of time, these principles of prayer remain just as relevant for us and vital for us as they were for disciples, even 20 years after Christ returning back to heaven. And first principle that we find in this parable, in order to persevere in prayer and maintain consistency, it is crucial for us to contemplate the perfections of God's character. The justice, righteousness, is an integral part of his character. Verse 22. You shall not mistreat, Exodus 22, verse 22. You shall not mistreat any widow or fatherless child, God commanded to his people in the law of the Moses. If you do mistreat them and they cry out to me, I will surely hear they cry. Unlike the unrighteous judge, our God is a standard of righteousness. He is a righteous judge. And we can rest assured that justice will prevail, even if it seems to us that God is too slow to act and does not restore justice right away. In the book of Revelation, there is an interesting text in which the martyrs who suffered for the Christian faith in the afterlife crying out to God and asking for justice. Book of Revelation, chapter 6. I'm going to read this passage for you. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. They cried out with a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then they were each given a white robe and told to rest a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers should be complete, who were to be killed as they themselves had been. God has his reasons and his own time frame. But sooner or later, we can be sure that God's justice will prevail. Events that unfolded in AD 70 with the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple were a significant fulfillment of Jesus' prophecies concerning the city's fate. And his disciples, being attentive to his teachings, heeded his warnings, and were able to find safety. Their remembrance of his words and their obedience to his instructions allowed them to escape the devastating judgment that fell on Jerusalem. This historic event serves as a powerful reminder of the reality of divine judgment. It foreshadows the ultimate and future great judgment, where all will stand before the throne of God. Just as the disciples were saved by their awareness and obedience, we too should take heed of the warnings and teachings of Jesus and prepare ourselves for his coming. That is why, seeing all the evil and all the wickedness around us, we must continue to pray the Lord's Prayer: Thy kingdom come. Come back, Jesus. Thy kingdom come. He is a righteous judge, and we pray for his return. He is our king. And second quality of his character is his love to us. His, what the Old Testament calls chesed, covenantal love for his people. And when Jesus told that parable, he makes a contrast between judge and between God. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? He calls his people his elect. The unjust judge in this parable was completely indifferent to this poor widow. He had no positive emotions toward her, and he did not care at all about her well-being. However, he eventually helped her simply because she relentlessly bothered him. In contrast, our God calls us his chosen ones. And election is not just a mechanical process where divine providence simply separates a faceless number of people, multitude, for salvation. No. Election assumes deep, intimate knowledge, God's care, and God's divine love toward his elect. As a chosen one, we can find comfort in knowing that God intimately knows us, personally knows us, understands our needs, our pain, our disappointment, and he is attentive to every aspect of our lives. His election is not a distant or impersonal, but profound demonstration of his divine love and commitment to his chosen people. He is actively involved in our well-being. And we need to remember that. In order to persevere in prayer and maintain consistency, even if we don't see fulfillment of God's promises yet, it's crucial for us to contemplate on the perfections of God's character and to remember that he is a righteous judge. And he is our heavenly, loving Father. Furthermore, to persevere in prayer and maintain consistency, we also must anchor our faith in the promises of God. God's word is filled with promises. Those promises provide hope, encouragement, and assurance on our journey. When we contemplate and believe in these promises, our faith is strengthened. We find the motivation to persistently seek God in prayer and ask him for fulfillment of those promises. Listen to this prayer of King David. Psalm 61. He prays. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. In this psalm, David finds himself far away from home, on a distant journey, in mortal danger, and he cries out for help. And listen, in the midst of his distress, he immediately turns to prayer and he remembers God's promises that God made him in the past. And he prays about fulfillment of those promises. A particular promise made to David is often referred to as the Davidic covenant. As you know, the Davidic covenant found in 2 Samuel chapter 7. It's a significant promise made by God to David that his descendant will be on the throne forever. And David's dynasty would be established forever. And David pleads in Psalm 61 that God promises would be fulfilled. Verse 6. After praying for his deliverance, he says, verse 6, prolong the life of the king. May his years endure to all generations. May he be enthroned forever before God. Appoint steadfast love and faithfulness to watch over him. He's just not praying for his salvation. He's praying for king who would be alive on the throne forever and ever. How could he get that sad about that petition and prayer? Because of the promises of God made him here. And he prayed and he asked God. Did God hear David's prayer? Yes. Did God fulfill his promise? Yes. But maybe not as fast as David would hope. Approximately a millennia later, angel came to a Virgin Mary and announced, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. 1,000 years. David got a promise. And right away he prays about fulfillment of that promise. And every believer after him, 10 years later, 20 years later, 200 years later, 500 years later, were praying that God would fulfill the promise that he once gave to David. 1,000 years passed, and promise was fulfilled. We also eagerly await the fulfillment of God's promises regarding of the return of Jesus, the resurrection of the dead, the final judgment, glorious city of Jerusalem, and eternal life. Also, these promises have not been fulfilled over the course of 2 millennia now. They will surely be fulfilled one day. And we must not lose faith or cease to pray for the fulfillment of these promises. A rhetorical question posed by Christ, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Does not imply that Jesus doubted whether believers would exist on earth at the time of his second coming. Rather, this question prompts us to examine our own faith, our own heart, and see if we still believe in his promises, if we await fulfillment of those promises, if we pray about fulfillment of his promises. We may face challenges, doubts, and the passing of time, but we must continue to persevere in prayer, eagerly anticipating the day when Jesus will return in glory. Our perseverance in prayer will indicate that we do have faith. Let us pray with fervency and live with hope, trusting his promises. So far, two principles in this parable. In order to persevere in prayer and maintain consistency, it's crucial for us to contemplate on perfections of God's character. This parable is a contrast between unjust, unloving judge and righteous, unloving Heavenly Father. Furthermore, to persevere in prayer and maintain consistency, we must anchor our faith in the promises of God. Lots of them have been fulfilled already, and lots of them are going to be fulfilled.
Amen.
Additionally, we must persevere in prayer simply because it's both our duty and an act of obedience to align ourselves with the revealed will of God. Jesus said in this parable, verse 1, He was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray. Infinitive day in Greek language communicates a necessity. One has to pray at all times. Prayer is not merely a request for our personal desires. Of course, we can bring our petitions to God. But this specific prayer that Jesus talks in this parable is about fulfillment of God's promises. By engaging in consistent and persistent prayer, we demonstrate our dependence on God and our willingness to surrender to His plans and purposes. It's an act of obedience to actively seek His will and align our hearts to His desires. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Apostle Paul says, "Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Praying without ceasing does not mean praying constantly without taking any breaks, but rather praying persistently and not yielding to the temptation to stop when the answer is delayed. Apostle Peter also warned believers about the approaching coming of Jesus Christ and urged them to be vigilant and watchful in prayer. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, he says, "The end of all things is at hand." He talks about the second coming of Jesus Christ. He's talking about the fulfillment of those promises. And he said, "Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers." Peter recognized the significance of the imminent return of Christ, and he emphasized the importance of maintaining a state of alertness and clarity of mind through prayer. As believers, we are called to be watchful and discerning, understanding the times we live, and eagerly anticipate the return of our Lord. Prayer becomes an essential aspect of our readiness, as it keeps us connected to God and aligns our heart with His will. Prayer empowers us to navigate the challenges of life with wisdom and perseverance. This is exactly what the parable of unjust judge teaches us. In the parable, the Lord warned His disciples about His long absence and urges them not to lose faith in His promises, but to persistently pray for their fulfillment. The essence of this prayer that He wants to hear and He teaches His disciples to continue to pray is captured in the words of the Lord's Prayer: "Thy kingdom come." We learn from this parable that we need to persistently pray for the coming of God's kingdom, for the fulfillment of His will on earth, and eagerly await this blessed event. We are called to persevere in persistent prayer, seeking the coming of God's kingdom and trusting that His will shall be done on earth as it is in heaven. May this parable inspire us to never cease praying and to not lose hope, but to have faith in the fulfillment of God's promises. Maranatha, a fervent cry for Lord's glorious arrival. New Testament and the entire Bible culminating with a deep anticipation and longing for Christ's return. The very last chapter of the Bible, the very last book of the Bible, the very last verse says, "He who bears witness to these words proclaim, yes, I'm coming soon, amen. With utmost eagerness we cry out, come, Lord Jesus. May the abundance, abounded grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." A passage of time spent in prolonged anticipation has the power to erode hope and breed indifference. For faithful Penelope, the waiting period of 20 years probably served as the utmost limit. She would not wait longer. She could not wait longer. 20 years, that was it. If king would not return for another year or 5 years, that's it. She would be gone. His kingdom would be gone. But for the church, even 2,000 years, not a limit. Even 2,000 years, not going to diminish our hope. Why? Because time spent in long wait gradually turns hope into complete indifference only if hope does not find a nourishing source. But we have a nourishing source. We're not left to endure the wait in desolation. We're fortified by the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. We're sustained by the timeless truth contained within the Word of God, in the Bible, in the Holy Scripture. And we partake in the holy mystery of communion, bringing us to blessed spiritual presence of Jesus Christ even now. And when we get the source, our hope is not going to die. And we will continue to faithfully pray, come, Lord Jesus, come. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and heavenly Father, we come before you, lifting our hearts in prayer for the glorious arrival of your kingdom and the triumphant return of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are the embodiment of perfect righteousness, and your steadfast love endures forever. You never waver in fulfilling your covenant and your promises. And today, as we contemplate your perfect character, we are filled with a deep longing for your kingdom to come and your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. We yearn for the day when all creation will be restored and your righteousness will fill the earth from corner to corner. We eagerly await the fulfillment of your promises, knowing that your word is true and that you are faithful to bring about what you have declared. Grant us grace to be obedient to your word. May our lives reflect your righteousness as we strive to walk in your ways and live in accordance with your commandments. We pray that you would empower us by your Holy Spirit to bear witness to your love and truth in the world that so desperately needs your redemptive touch. In our anticipation of Christ's return, we find hope, we find joy. Lord, help us never waver in our belief that he will come again, just as you have promised. Prepare our hearts to meet him, clothed in your righteousness, and may we be found faithful, eagerly awaiting his arrival. May our lives be a reflection of your kingdom, and may your glory be revealed through us as we live in obedience to your will. In the mighty and precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Thank you for God's word. I need to turn the iPod back on, or the iPod player. And we will see number 629. What a friend we have in Jesus. Face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Yes.